Let me get to the NCAA tournament. I'm looking at this right now, and these brackets. I don't know about y'all brackets, but I'm going to let y'all know this right now. I got Duke, Houston, Arizona, and Iowa State going to the Final Four. I got Duke coming out the East region. I got Houston coming out the South. I got Arizona coming out the West. I got Iowa State coming out of the Midwest. Midwest was kind of hard. I'm just not a believer in Michigan. I believe Michigan is too erratic. I think they could be had. I think they could be had. I don't trust Virginia. I don't trust Kentucky. Alabama ain't what they were last year. Texas Tech could be a threat. Can't sleep on them. But I'm just looking at it right now, and I'm saying to myself, yo, I'm just not sold. I'm just not sold. Iowa State is no joke, and I get that part. I think Arizona might be the best team in the country. I think Duke's got a couple of injuries that they got to deal with. They've got to find a way to overcome. We'll see what happens with Boozer and what he's going to be able to do. He's a leading candidate for National Player of the Year, but I don't think he's the best player in the game. And as good as he is, I don't think that he's dominant enough to be able to carry them by himself to overcome things. You know, so that's just how I'm looking at it. Let me tell you what's really, really on my mind, though, as I look at this tournament and I look at this. I was on the air with Seth Greenberg, noted college basketball analyst extraordinaire for ESPN. He'll be on the show with us in about 20 minutes or so to break down the brackets and to talk with us about what's going on. He's complaining about Duke being the number one overall seed and having the rough patch that they have through the East region. You know what I got a problem with? Why the hell does St. John's have it so tough? Rick Pitino is just outstanding. After all of these years, the man is still just phenomenal as a coach. I mean, just a little over a week ago, they got their asses trounced by UConn. Lost by damn near 40. Okay? And what did they do? They came back out, scored the first 10 points. Wasn't even close. Just destroyed UConn in the Big East tournament game, in the Big East finals. And I'm just looking at it and I'm saying to myself, damn, St. John's, first Big East team in history to win consecutive outright regular season and conference tournament titles. First team in Big East history. Ladies and gentlemen, do you remember anything about the Big East? Don't you remember when Georgetown was the Ahoya Paranoia with Patrick Ewing and Michael Graham and Michael Smith and Reggie Williams and all of these boys? Don't you remember when Villanova was there with Pinckney and McLean and all of these boys and Raleigh Massimino coaching them? Don't you remember Syracuse with Dwayne Pearl Washington? Don't you remember the Syracuse in the days to follow with the Derek Coleman's and the Billy Owens, and the Sherman Douglases of the world? Don't you remember them? Don't you remember St. John's with Chris Mullin, Walter Berry, Willie Glass, Mark Jackson, Bill Winnington and those boys? Don't y'all remember that? Don't you remember that? All of those great years throughout Big East history, and never, ever, ever has there been a time where they won back-to-back Big East outright regular season and conference tournament titles. UConn, how could I not give UConn with Calhoun? Okay, with the Ray Allens of the world and the Rip Hamiltons of the world, the Caron Butlers of the world, and various others. I remember all of these cats. Okay? Kemba Walkers of the world and others. All of these great teams. Nobody won back-to-back outright regular season and tournament titles. And Rick Pitino comes along, and before this man has had a chance to pass gas in the Big East, he's done it. He's done it already. I mean, this is sensational stuff. And you know what? You got a damn good team with a lot of cats, and I get that part. But Zubi Ejiofor, 16.7 rebounds, that's your best player. And somehow, some way, you winning. Why? Because you're 16-1 in your final regular season games. You got the best defense in the conference, all right? Committed turnovers on just 12.5% of their offensive possessions, 12th in the nation during a 17-game stretch. Right now, they're the best defense in the Big East. I mean, you just can't say this enough. Only right now, the big problem that you can't bet on St. John's is that they can't shoot. Just 33% from three on the season. And we all know how awful they were from three-point range last year against Arkansas in the NCAA tournament. The two teams combined for 4-41 shooting from three-point range. That was a god-awful performance. I get that part. And Rick Pitino still hasn't found himself some bona fide shooters. If he did, he'd probably won a national championship. That's how great of a coach he is. I'm loving what I'm seeing. Absolutely loving from him. But here's the problem that I have. Considering how it is, right? How the hell do you have St. John's as a fifth seed in this region, in the East region? So you got Duke with Schreier. Okay, you got Kansas with Bill Self. All right? You got Izzo at Michigan State. You got UCLA. You got UConn with Danny Hurley. What's that about? I mean, what is that about? How you going to put St. John's, UConn is a top two seed in a region. They're considered one of the top six or seven teams in the entire nation. And here you are, you got St. John's as a fifth seed after they beat UConn twice and just spanked them to win the Big East crown. My attitude is, first of all, they should have been a fourth or a third seed. And if you're not going to put them that high, you're going to leave them as at least a fifth seed, you could have at least put them in a different region. I mean, I understand that Arizona is no joke, but who the hell does Arizona have to go through? I mean, Arkansas is tough, and I get that part. Villanova, Wisconsin, that ain't the same. BYU is relatively young. DeBonza, he's my number one overall pick in the draft, by the way. But how good did you expect them to be? Gonzaga? I think they had a key injury that you got to pay attention to with them because they're not what they were expected to be. Braden Huff suffered his knee injury in mid-January. It cost them the rest of the regular season. I'm just looking at them right now. What do you got here? I'm just looking at them like you look at Arizona. All right, Michigan, St. Louis, Texas Tech, Alabama, Tennessee, Virginia, Kentucky, Iowa State. I mean, come on. That really? You couldn't have put St. John's in a region like that? That would have been, to me, that would have been the right thing to do. But the fact that they didn't do that gave me cause to pause. But having said all of that, fine, because the brackets are the brackets, and we get that part. I'm going to tell you right now what's really, really on my mind when it comes to the NCAA tournament. And that's the players in the nation that I'm looking at. Who y'all looking at? Is it A.J. DeBonz out of BYU? Is it this brother, the second coming of Allen Iverson and Darius Acuff for Arkansas? Is it that brother who just finished averaging 30 on 50% shooting in the SEC tournament, played 117 out of 121 minutes in the three SEC games? Is it him? Is it Fleming in Houston? Is it Boozer with Duke? Is it Darren Peterson with Kansas? Who you looking at right now? Because I can tell you right now, all eyes are on Peterson, but skeptically, because people want to see what's up with him. You know, is he going to be that kind of dude that's going to be a motivational tool and an additive, or is he just going to be out there and he's going to score punches for you, he's going to score points for you, but is he really going to do stuff that contributes to winning basketball? Acuff Jr., the brother averaged 30 points, 50% from three, and 7.7 assists in the three SEC tournament games. They had a thriller against Ole Miss that shouldn't have been as tough as it was, but nevertheless, that happens. They beat Vanderbilt, ran away from that one. Brother special. Reminds me of Iverson. You know, could just get what he wants when he wants it. Shot whenever he wants it. First SEC player since Pete Maravich to lead the league in scoring and assist. He's a freshman. Doesn't remind me of Derrick Rose. Ain't that kind of athlete that Calipari had as a freshman guard at Memphis. He ain't that kind of player. But I'm telling you right now, Acuff is special. He's very special. And I'm just looking at him right now, and I'm saying to myself, hey, this brother is going to be something. I'm looking at DeBonza. DeBonza, my favorite. You can't teach 6'8", 6'9", with his athleticism. And by the way, he's averaging leading the nation as a freshman in scoring at 25.3 a game. Duke's Cameron Boozer is second at 22.5. A-Cup Jr. is at 22.9. All average at least 20 points per game and reach the NCAA tournament. That's tied for the most freshmen in a single season to average 20 points and lead their teams to the NCAA tournament. The last time there were three freshmen was in 2018-2019 with Duke Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett and Oregon's Bol Bol. Other notable freshmen to do this: Cade Cunningham, Trey Young, Jamal Murray, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, Sharif Abdul-Rahim, Allen Iverson, Kenny Anderson, Wayman Tisdale, and Mark Aguirre. The only 20-point freshman scorers to lead their teams to Final Fours that season: Carmelo Anthony in 2003, Kenny Anderson, Georgia Tech 1990, and Mark Aguirre for DePaul in 1979. Carmelo Anthony is the only one to lead his team to a national championship. The only freshman averaging over 20 a game to lead his team to a national championship in NCAA history has been Carmelo Anthony. I don't think DeBonza can do that for BYU. I don't think he has the help. But that brother's special. And he's my choice to go number one overall in the NBA draft because I can trust him. I can trust his size. I can trust his athleticism. I can trust his work ethic. I can trust his want-it attitude. And that brings us to Darren Peterson, because we ain't trying to throw shade on Darren Peterson. We're trying to help the brother out just by letting him know, yo, people watching you. You missed 11 games this year. You're a freshman. You went in one game, pulled up for a jumper right in front of the coach's face, and then turned around and pulled out. You letting cats know an hour before the game you can't go because of the flu. We don't understand stuff like that. We just don't. And now that Bill Self is in the tourney, we're going to see what Darren Peterson's going to do. Because in order for him to be the number one overall pick, my belief is he has to play lights out. There can't be any questions about durability. There can't be any questions about availability. And there can't be any questions about star power that he brings. He has to outshine everybody. Because again, A-Cuff is special. Special. DeBonza, special. Special. Damn, I wish Caleb Wilson wasn't out for North Carolina, because the people were raving about him too. In the end, what it comes down to is it's a lot of storylines with this NCAA tournament. I have my favorites. What's yours? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. We're talking World Baseball Classic. We're talking the NCAA tournament, the brackets. We got some NFL news that have come down the pike to let you know about. We got some NBA stuff flourishing as well. Two additional expansion teams, it's possible, in Seattle and Vegas, might be coming to an NBA. An NBA team might be coming to those cities sooner than you thought. Lots of stuff to get into, so stick around. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more of your calls and then some in a minute.